You're listening to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 98, Part 2, Even More Entrepreneurial Critical Mistake.
Aloha, and welcome to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now, here's your host, Erica Duran.
Aloha, escape artists, e komo mai. Welcome to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 98, Even More Entrepreneurial Mistakes, Part 2. I'm calling from the gorgeous Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort on Hawaii Island, and I found butterscotch. Butterscotch is a cockatiel here that has been at the resort for, I think 15 years now. But when I arrived in the lobby, he was gone and I was worried. But then I was walking around and found him over with the flamingos by the luau walkway. And the poor bird looked so lonely not being able to greet everyone in the lobby. But man, he was really loud in the lobby and I can see why they moved him. He was so funny. He would mimic the sound of the tram approaching the lobby. You know that bell or horn warning that the tram is coming. So I'm glad he's alive and okay and just relocated. So here today on the show, we're doing part two of the mistakes series and probably more to come in the future shows. People love these mistake shows. More reflection, more words of caution, and always a disclaimer that maybe a mistake that I've done or I've observed, maybe it would work for you and your business. None of this is a formula, and we sometimes have to try things out for ourselves. I love it when clients have a new idea and ask me if it'll work. I'm a coach, I'm not a fortune teller, so I usually say, let's try it and attract the results and be ready to pivot. Or sometimes I do try to think of all the angles and strategies so they don't waste their time or money, so I could save them from that. But I don't want to squash an idea or their creativity because it might indeed work for them. More mistakes, reflections, and observations. But first, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. Want to design your own freedom-based luxury lifestyle? To get started, you can apply for my complimentary Aloha strategy session. Aloha, I'm Erica Duran, a freedom-based luxury lifestyle designer and high-level business coach and mentor. This complimentary Aloha strategy session is right for you if you're tired of piecing together all that free stuff online and you're ready to implement your own systems and unique way of living and working. You desire to work productively from anywhere in the world and achieve that laptop lifestyle, but you don't want to spend all your time chained to your desk. And you're so done being baffled by technology. You want to earn at least $5,000 to $20,000 per month consistently in your consulting, coaching, training, or other entrepreneurial venture. You see other people charging premium prices for their programs and services, and you just can't seem to crack that code. You desire a high-level coach to peel back the curtain and share all her secrets. Does any of this sound like you? If so, I'd love to invite you to take advantage of this limited time offer today and apply for your complimentary Aloha strategy session with me by going to ericaduran.co/aloha. A lifestyle of freedom and luxury is waiting for you, so let's not waste any time. Never settle. Mahalo.
Hilton Waikoloa Village, a resort like no other, nestled among swaying palms and overlooking the glistening blue Pacific Ocean, lies the award-winning Hilton Waikoloa Village on Hawaii's Big Island. This 62-acre oceanfront paradise blends contemporary facilities with graceful Hawaiian culture and is a romantic destination within itself. Three towers occupy a protected oasis woven around tropical gardens, where 1,240 rooms abound with the subtle elegance of Hawaiian splendor. This amazing property boasts two championship golf courses and a seaside putting course, eight world-class tennis courts, the luxurious Kohala Spa, 14 international cuisine restaurants, lounges, and bars, world-class shopping, and a museum walkway lined with more than 1,800 authentic treasures. The Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort is also the Big Island home to the friendly and playful dolphins of Dolphin Quest. For more information or to book your stay, visit HiltonWaikoloaVillage.com or call 1-800-HILTONS. And be sure to mention that you heard about this beautiful resort on The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Mahalo. Starting or growing your own business for most people is usually difficult and brings up all kinds of fears, doubts, and frustrations. When you want to start or grow a business completely virtually from anywhere, it could add an extra layer of difficulty. For me, I found that I learn a whole lot more from other people's failure stories than their success stories. I think that it's important to remember that we all have different talents and backgrounds and frames of reference to life's challenges. So to one person, a certain business obstacle may be easy for one, and for someone else, it's really hard to break through that same obstacle or even just a task. Some people might see it as difficult and other people see it as completely easy. I always wish there would be someone to just tell me where the setbacks were going to be, but that doesn't always work, does it? Because it's different for everyone. And now that I think about it, I probably wouldn't have listened to them anyway, and I wanted to try it myself and fail myself. Plus, everyone has such a different path. It's almost impossible to duplicate success by following someone else's path or system blindly without taking into account your own set of strengths and weaknesses. That is why I love working with clients to create a customized plan and systems. But no matter what, many mistakes are common too. So many lifestyle entrepreneurs. So I thought I would share some of them with you. Here are 13 more mistakes that either I've made or my colleagues have made when starting their own freedom-based lifestyle and business. Number one, going after passion only and not a balance of passion and what people will actually pay for. This is a big one. We are all told to go after what we are passionate about and then we'll never work a day in our lives. This is true, but you also have to make a living. You must find a way for people to be willing to pay you for this passion, or you will not be in business and have to return to that job you desperately wanted to leave. Often I have found what people are willing to pay you for is not exactly the things that you think are exciting or fun to do. And the things that you are really good at and maybe you take them for granted are what everyone lines up to pay you for. The selling is a little bit more effortless. This can get a little depressing. You wanted to have a business of your passion, but you are stuck doing blank, fill in the blank, whatever the task is or service is. The good thing is that you can reframe these thoughts. Start thinking about the lifestyle you could have if selling was effortless and everyone wanted to pay you for what you thought was a no-brainer. Enjoy the lifestyle, not necessarily every task in your business. So for example, I used to do, sometimes still do, a lot of SEO and actually lately a lot of website development work. And I don't hate it a lot of times, but I don't love it. It's just something that comes very easy to me, and it isn't my favorite thing to do with clients, but I'm really fast and pretty good at it, and it provides me with the lifestyle I want. And when I take a step back and think about it, you know, I'm just being spoiled. The website development and the SEO work is a million times better than the jobs I've had. It's just not my favorite thing to do, and that's okay. I get to have experiences. I
I want because I have that skill and serve others with it. Something that could be very frustrating and time-consuming and stressful for them. Number two is thinking too much like a traditional business. For location and time independent businesses, you have to think differently than a physical or a local one. The marketing is different, your time management is different, your tools are different, etc. I see too many virtual businesses get caught up in getting all their, quote, ducks in a row before they start making a product or service. For a virtual business, you need to test several options before finding the one that will be sustainable to you. The quicker you do this, the better. Don't fuss around with your logo, business cards, LLC paperwork, web designing for too long, because it's most likely going to evolve and change over a very short period of time. And who are you going to hand that business card to anyway? You're working virtually. Instead, start pitching potential clients and our customers on or offline about your offerings. Maybe do a bunch of free market research calls. See what sticks and then spend time on these more traditional business tasks. Now, a special tip here, always buy the smallest quantity of business cards when you are starting out. They will change, guaranteed. And even when you're more seasoned, buy the smallest quantity. Even though it's a good deal to get a bigger quantity, things just change so quickly that you don't want to have a bunch of cards laying around that are outdated. Number three, not automating or outsourcing enough. So let's see, you probably went into business around a topic that you are passionate about. Think back to number one in this episode today. So you're probably not a graphic artist, a web designer, a video editor, a photographer, or a housekeeper. It's time to treat your business like a business and start outsourcing. To demonstrate, add up what you should be making per hour. So if you want to make $100,000 per year, you need to be making about $57 per hour, considering you might take 2 weeks off for vacation and count about 5 hours a day of real focused work. So there's other things you do, but 5 hours a day. So if cleaning your house takes 6 hours a week, to do it yourself, that just costs you $342. Now, I don't know any maid service that charges $342 an hour for cleaning to visit an average home. But I mean, have you ever heard of cleaning? Maybe they're out there. Start realizing what is wasting time on things you are not good at or that you don't like doing. And what is that really costing you? Like, get out your calculator and figure that out. Not only in money, but in stress and frustration. There's a factor too for stress and frustration, getting that off your plate so you can do the things you do like to do or the things that are more revenue generating activity. And maybe you don't love them, just like we talked about earlier, but they do generate revenue. Number four, keeping too much clutter in your home or office or overpacking. Too much clutter, or if you are on the road, it might be called overpacking, can really get in the way of your productivity and creativity, not to mention the cost of all those things laying around your home. That money could have gone into your business, a good cause, or an experience. You'll be surprised at how fast you can adapt to living with less and less. And if you are traveling, you'll find it's pretty easy to get what you need when you get there, especially with all the baggage fees nowadays. A lot of times it's simpler to just grab some things when you arrive at the destination. Number five I see is keeping shopping as a pastime. So shopping for many Americans is a hobby or pastime, and it really shouldn't be. I'm not talking about getting excited about an event coming up and getting something nice to wear or wanting to upgrade your sofa every few years. I'm talking about the retail therapy and the mindless shopping that goes on when you're trying to escape the real world for a while and buy useless stuff to literally stuff down the emotion or situation that you are not dealing with. All this clutter in your life takes time to maintain and care for, and actual space in your life that there's no room to work on new ventures. Not to mention the money and time that shopping as a pastime uses up. What kind of experiences could you get with that money instead? What could that 4 hours at the mall produce if you were working on your business? Number 6, letting family and friends' comments discourage you. These people that are making you feel like a crazy person for quitting your corporate job and starting a business are only trying to protect you because they love you and they don't understand what you're doing. When my father was alive, he was always worried about me leaving my corporate hotel executive career and would say things that made me feel like I was sacrificing a quote normal life and doing all this work on my business for nothing and that it would never work. Freedom-based lifestyle design coach or productivity expert were titles that were just a little too hard for him to understand from his frame of reference, from his life. He didn't understand until I had something tangible to show him, like a physical training guide that I created or a client's website that I did. Then he could explain what I do to his friends. He could say, oh, she's a writer or she makes websites. I think I only got through this because I had regular meetings with several other entrepreneurs going through the same thing. Or it could be that your naysayers are jealous that, and they're not trying to protect you, but they're jealous that you don't have to commute to work anymore. You don't have to work in a cubicle, and they're just reflecting their own fear in what you're doing. All I can say to that is that you don't have to share with anyone what you're doing. When this subject matter comes up, just tell them you're doing fine and then switch the subject to a mutual interest topic. This especially works if you have an online or virtual business. You can just market online and let the right people come to you. Remember, success is the average of these people and proves it to yourself to quiet your own doubts. Remember, success is the best revenge to these people and proves it to yourself to quiet your own doubts. Number 7, overspending on technology. There is an endless amount of technology tools and apps that you can spend money on to help you be more productive, automate your task, or streamline your business. This is even bigger temptation for online or virtual businesses. I get asked to use and review many of these technology tools, and most of them are really amazing and innovative. But there is usually a free or low-cost version that is good enough, especially when you're starting out, or even better than a high-cost version. I remember feeling like I had to have this one software package because everyone who was really making it online was using it. The software had a high cost to join and then a high monthly fee, and there was an extremely high learning curve for those who aren't that technical. When I was going through a rough cash flow time because of some crazy medical bills, I put this service on hold and started using a service that was about 300 times less. It turned out that the lower cost service was far superior to the expensive one. It turned out the lower cost service was far superior to the expensive one and was compatible with many more systems in my business that I was already using, making my entire operation more streamlined. So don't feel like you're a nobody because you're not using the latest software. Test them and see what is really right for you. Another thing I've noticed, these technology tools, you know, things like LeadPages and Infusionsoft, those guys are master marketers, and their marketing is so good that they make you feel like you need this or you're not going to ever succeed or be anything. So just keep that in mind too, that they are really good marketers. They're good at what they do, and that's why you're feeling that way. Number 8, taking on too many local gigs. When you're trying to break free and scrape up enough business to survive, you might find yourself taking on too many local gigs. I'm calling these local because of my struggle to be on the road full time. But this is still true if you are staying in your own hometown but want to work online and just want time independence. Taking on speaking gigs, in-person meetings, attending live networking meetings, and hosting live workshops takes more time than you think to fulfill. If your strategy is to have an online business, then be very careful to the in-person events you partake in. People that meet you in person often expect you to continue the work with them in person and not by phone or Skype or webinar. Remember that is you. It is you that needs to set the boundary here and explain up front that you only work via phone to save everyone time, money, and energy. A lot of online entrepreneurs, when they are starting out, make too many exceptions to this boundary because they think they are leaving money on the table and find themselves wasting a lot of time. There is nothing wrong with live, local, or in-person business, except that if it's not your lifestyle goal. Funny thing that happened, side note here to me, is that when I started doing phone appointments only with my clients, they were even more focused and got better results than in the in-person. I think because when we're in-person, we start talking about, oh, I like your shoes, or wasn't that a great movie, or something like that, and we don't totally focus. When they arrive on the phone call, they're completely focused, and there's a reason for that call. And maybe it's because I was more focused in going after what I really wanted. Number 9, not creating routines. I've written many times about the importance of good habits and routines. These are even more important to an online or virtual business. You don't have the comfort or familiar surroundings all the times, which can be completely distracting. But like I've said before, you're going to wake up somewhere, so have a productive daily routine. Number 10, following someone ahead of you too closely or comparing. Online businesses fall victim to comparing so much easier than a traditional business. How many followers do you have on Twitter? How big is your last launch? How big is your list? How many people attend your latest webinar? All this information and metrics is all out there in the open a lot of times for everyone to see. To reframe this form of envy or jealousy, so you can start thinking to yourself, wow, she's really showing me what's possible, or he is on such a different path than me. He's killing it on Twitter, but LinkedIn is where my target market is. So start kind of reframing those thoughts that pop up in your head about competition and comparison. Also, when you follow someone else's success journey too closely, you can start emulating them without even knowing it. You'll start to sound like them and write like them. Many online businesses and personal brands are based on your personality. Therefore, by following someone you admire too closely, you are hurting the most precious asset in your business, which is you. Number 11, spending too much time and money on web design and not enough on SEO, or better yet, actually building relationships and being visible. If you build it, they will come. Might be true for baseball fields, but not websites. I know your website is your window to the world and your face to the marketplace on the internet, but frankly, no one's going to see it if you don't have proper SEO or proper outreach strategies and practices. Besides, isn't part of having a freedom-based lifestyle and business to have things automated so you can work less? Focusing on your design and not your SEO or outreach will have you back in the trap of traditional businesses where you have to drive traffic to your site yourself, like when you hand your business card out at a networking meeting. Tell me, how many times have you gone home from an in-person networking meeting and had that stack of cards and just rip through them looking at everyone's website and looking them up on Google? I'm betting not many times, right? I bet you probably maybe never did that, maybe once or twice. Plus, the people at the networking group are probably not even in your target market, so that's just a big waste of time and energy if you think about it. Better to have your SEO set up correctly and your outreach consistent so that you have your target market searching and finding you online. This is a big topic recently that has been coming up with the group of private clients that I'm currently working with. So I'm probably going to do an entire episode on this topic very soon. Number 12, thinking you can keep your same living standards or comforts that you had when you were in a corporate job. Sure, a lifestyle of living and working on your own terms and not having an income ceiling sounds glamorous and exciting, but for most people, it's not going to happen overnight. Most people that embark on this journey need to cut back on some comfort habits or downsize their lifestyle for a period of time so that they can devote enough time to and invest in their business until it stabilizes. When you have a corporate job, you might spend your weekends at the movies or golf or shopping or restaurants, things like that. Now you must see every day that you are, quote, free from your job like a never-ending weekend. But you most likely won't be able to add these activities to your schedule for some time. Remember, these minor sacrifices are only for a little while and it pays off in the end. Number 13, spending too much time learning or dreaming and not enough time taking real action. I know some people that have been meditating or thinking or researching about starting a business or creating a lifestyle on their own terms, but they never actually get around to doing anything or taking action. It is almost like the planning and the thinking about it itself is a fun hobby or pastime, or it's good enough for them. You'll never know what is right for you unless you actually try it. Maybe you won't like your desired new lifestyle at all once you've really lived it, or maybe you'll wish you started sooner. So have you made any of these mistakes? Have you made a different mistake that wasn't here on the list? I really want you to share so that the community of escape artists can learn from you. Remember, you don't need to travel to have a freedom-based business in life. You can stay in the comfort of your own town and just have more free time to do what you've always wanted to do. We can all still benefit from learning from others' mistakes, fears, and setbacks to cut the time frame of reaching our own success. Let me know how I can support you in navigating through these challenges or avoiding them altogether. Pauhana Escape Artist work is done on this episode. I'm sure we'll be doing more mistake and reflection episodes in the future because they are so popular and it forces me to take the time to reflect. Please share your observations and mistakes either in the free Facebook group where the escape artists hang out or on the show notes page that accompanies this episode at ericaduran.co/98. Mahalo for listening. A hui ho. Until we meet again, sending you aloha.
Thank you for listening to The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.